This is Doug Miller. Are you inside the camp or are you outside? It makes a difference. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back with you in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. We've been at it a long time now, and we're getting down toward the end of this book. We'll need to be taking something else up as soon as I've gotten through with this, so pray about this. And you might even let us hear from you. Give us your opinion as to what you'd like to hear us discuss. It may not even be a whole book. It might just be questions that you have. Whatever. But at any rate, we are finishing up Hebrews. It's been a great blessing to me. I trust it has been to you. Now, Dialogue comes to you every week at this time, brought to you by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. Of course, you know the old joke, you know, this is a nonprofit organization. We don't plan it that way, but it is. Well, this is a nonprofit organization, and we plan it that way. We plan to keep it that way and keep it running low budget and keep our emphasis on getting this word out because, you know, you don't have to be fancy about the word. You don't have to put it out there in some palatable way. All you have to do is put it out there. And God is the one that gives the increase. And that's been our experience, and that's what we're doing here. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to chapter 13 of Hebrews. We'll begin with verse 9 today. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners with questions, comments, if nothing more than to say we're out here, we're listening, we're praying for you. Because, friends, I want to tell you something. Without your prayers, we can do absolutely nothing. Oh, we can get on here and make noise. I can get on here and record things, but it is not going to make any difference. The prayers of the saints and the support and sustenance of the saints and your word of mouth, just telling people to listen. And let us hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. We have here the statement in verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And look at what else he says in the rest of the verse. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, this may, or I would just imagine, seemed rather strange to these Jewish people that were the recipients of this letter, because meats, that's exactly what they were occupied in. The sacrifices and eating the meats and, you know, showbread and unleavened bread and the whole, so much of the Jewish faith and the Mosaic law had to do with food and eating meats and what you could eat and what you couldn't and who could eat what. Go back and read the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament where you get into the law of what is clean and what is unclean. And back in, as far back as Exodus, you get the showbread that was on the golden table inside the tabernacle, which only the priests could eat. And, of course, the various feasts, particularly, you know, you think of the Feast of Passover, where, and that whole week there, of unleavened bread, where no leaven could be in the house, and where they ate unleavened cakes, And, you know, on and on and on it goes. What an interesting thing for this individual to have written to these people. And it's interesting. The heart, our heart, your heart and mine, to be established with grace, not with meats. You know, that hasn't been a profit to anyone or to anything. Now, I want to tell you something, and I realize that some of you might not like to hear this and might be offended by it. That's, once again, not my intention. But look, there are a lot of liturgical practices in the Christian religion. You notice how I emphasize the word religion? You could almost put quotation marks around it. Because religion is not something I'm interested in, never have been, never gonna be. As long as, since I've been saved, I've understood that religion, this is what men do. There's a lot of religion in the world out there. And people stand up at this time, and they kneel at that time, and they posture about this and that, and they go through certain rigmaroles and say certain words, and there's certain things they can eat and certain things they can't eat. And none of that has anything to do with grace. Grace is such a wonderful word because it means something given freely, given without any strings attached. And notice in this statement here, it is grace that establishes the heart. For those of you out there who are listening to me, if you're having a difficult time spiritually, if your life as a Christian is difficult and you don't feel like you're growing or getting anywhere, or maybe that you're going nowhere fast, if you have doubts and defeat, I want you to look at this. It is grace that establishes the heart. You can get involved in religion all you want to, but God is dealing with us in grace. And every good gift he has for us is coming to us freely by grace through faith. And as we have seen over and over again in this book of Hebrews, if you as a Christian are not resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't entered into your rest, if you are not victorious in Christ, your problem is simply a lack of faith. Faith is the instrument, it's the conduit through which grace flows. The victory is there, just reach out and take it. Otherwise, you can get involved in religion all you want to. But I want you to look at this verse. Meats have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now look at the 10th verse. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now, that's an interesting one, too, isn't it? My wife tells me that I say the word interesting too much. I've probably mentioned that before. Well, maybe I do. But this is interesting, because the only altar that these Jewish Christians or these Jewish people really knew anything about was that altar which was in the temple and was in the temple worship. The altar of burnt offering, and then inside the altar of incense, and of course the Ark of the Covenant, which they didn't have at this time. It had been taken captive by the Babylonians years before, but these are the altars they knew about. And what does our writer tell us here? Those that are serving the tabernacle, those who are involved in that, and you look back at the verse we've just looked at, verse 9, those that were serving the tabernacle were involved with what? They were involved with meats and eating this and that. They were being carried about with what this man calls strange doctrine. But the altar which we have, they have no right to eat of. Our altar is in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. It is not on this earth. It has nothing to do with this earth. It is not perishable. It is not corruptible. It cannot be taken away. It does not need to be blessed by some man with some highfalutin title. I don't care who or what he is. Our altar is the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the strictest sense. In the strictest sense, he is our sacrifice. He is the one who saved us from the penalty of sin. He is the one who is sustaining us and keeping us from sin. And it is this altar in the heavenly places that we feed at. Now, those who are serving the tabernacle, our author here says they have no right to eat of this altar. Well, yes, that's true. They have no right. But they're not going to eat of it anyway. They're not even aware of the need or the necessity of coming to this altar. Let me ask you something. Those of you who are listening to me, where's your heart? The Lord Jesus said, if your heart, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Paul said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God in glory. Where's your heart? Because that's where your altar is. And we have such an altar. And you can either go and eat at that altar, or you can serve the tabernacle, as it were. Now, the tabernacle here, read religion. Just read religion into that. And read worldly practices and all of this religious rigmarole. I'm telling you, if that may have meaning to you, but you will never enter into the greater and more wonderful things that God has for you as long as you're occupied with that. Now look at this 11th verse and the 12th verse and the 13th verse and the clear on down through the 15th. When I opened this broadcast, I was talking about this one right here. Because I want you to look at this now and I want you to think about it. The bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Look at verses 13 and 14. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, what is this camp? Well, I can tell you what the camp is. First off, let's look at it literally, and then we'll look at it scripturally and see what it signifies scripturally. Literally, you think about this. The Jews, of course, and I've talked about this, we've talked about it before, but any not just the Jews, but any people back in that day, and clear up into medieval times, and even farther than that, inside the camp, inside the city walls, that was the place of light and life and safety. That's where you wanted to be. You didn't want to be put outside the camp, thrust outside. What was outside? All the uncleanness and filth were out there. All the garbage and trash was dumped out there. The lepers who were unclean were thrust out of the camp and put out there. And out there were the thieves and the murderers. And, you know, you were unsafe out there. And the worst thing that could happen, in excommunication, you were put outside the camp. And, of course, our writer here makes it very clear, and it is very true. Many of the sacrifices, their blood was brought into the altar and put on the altar, but the bodies were burned outside the camp, out in the place of rejection. Now look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He went forth bearing his reproach, his cross, into to a place called Golgotha, the death head, a skull, and there they crucified him. And what was he doing? He was put outside the camp. He was a reject. The Jewish people rejected him. Here is one who came as their Messiah, who all of his life lived as an Orthodox Jew, and because he told the truth that he was Messiah, that he was there to bring in the kingdom, they rejected him, condemned him to death, and thrust him out. And he died the death of a criminal outside the camp, out where it was unclean. Now, these Jewish people, they were all concerned about their religion. As we've been talking about and as we've seen all the way through this book of Hebrews, these individuals, many of them who had identified with Christ and with Christianity, we're now going back and being drawn back into the old place, into the religion, back within the camp, back to that altar which was of the tabernacle and away from the true altar. And they were not willing to take their place with the Lord Jesus in his rejection and in his place of lowliness and humility outside the camp. Has this got any application to us today? You had better believe it. You had better believe it. Now let me get on some toes here a little bit again. The camp, when you read that, just think of organized religion. Just think of organized religion. Now, if you think that this guy talking to you does not have a lot of sympathy with organized religion, you're right. Because I see what it is and I see what it's become. And right now, even as I talk to you, the churches of Europe are empty, virtually. And the Pope is over there trying to figure out how to interest people in religion again. And they're not interested. And he's not going to figure it out. And, you know, all over the world we see this trend. We don't see it yet in this country, but I can assure you it's coming in. It's coming in, and our churches have emptied out because the people know very well. They're not stupid. They realize that there is nothing in all of this posturing and chanting and standing and sitting and all of the things that organized religion does. There is no reality in it. None. And don't think that I'm just here talking about the Roman Church. I am talking about all of them. I'm talking about the great state Protestant churches over there. They're empty too. And this is all the camp. But there is a place outside the camp. A place where those who really have been born again go to the Lord Jesus, and they are drawn to him into that place of rejection. There's not a lot of color out there. There's not a lot of music. There's not a lot of ritualism. It's a real simple place, and it's a place of death, and I mean death to this world. We die to the world, and we live to him. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, and it is a place of reproach. You go out there with the Lord Jesus. You be gathered to him and to him alone, and there's a price to be paid for that. It's a reproach. But that is also the place, you know, go out from among them, says the Lord, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Look at this 15th verse of Hebrews 13. By him, therefore, that is the Lord Jesus, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What a wonderful prospect we have as a kingdom of priests. Priests and kings, the real priesthood of believers outside the camp, with our great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, in the place that he occupies. We, by the Holy Spirit, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, are going to God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, outside the camp, outside everything that the world holds dear, because there is nothing in the world for us, and there is nothing in the world that has any way, that can in any way minister grace to our hearts. I hope, I trust, that some of you who are listening to this are stirred by these words and can be moved by these words to go out to the place where the Lord Jesus is. He's outside the city walls, out in the place of death and rejection. If you don't understand this, I will pray for you. And if I can in any way help you, if I am not, getting this across in a clear enough way, well, shame on me. You need to pray for me. But this is the place for believers in this dispensation we are living in. And I want to tell you, we may not know it today, but those Jews back there knew it. They knew it for sure. You go to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're outside. You're outside looking in. Now, the application to Gentile Christians, particularly today, may be a little more difficult. But I can tell you right now that where I, the church I grew up in, and you've heard me talk about this before, you may get tired of hearing me talk about it. Well, yeah, okay, but I'm going to talk about it. The church that I grew up in was a rather formal and ritualistic and liturgical, and I don't recall ever having heard the gospel preached purely and simply in that church. And after I got saved and I understood what the gospel was, I started listening very carefully to see if there was something I had missed. And there was nothing I had missed. They weren't preaching it. And it surprised me. And this whole idea of salvation by grace through faith was alien here. They were involved in works and in doing good this and good that. And it was all social gospel, that it had nothing to do with works, that it was all by grace through faith, that we were born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that having been born again by grace through faith, we are kept by grace through faith and will be preserved and brought through. And I can remember very well how that message was greeted within the camp of organized religion. They didn't like it. They didn't like to hear it from me. I was an offense and a stumbling block to them. And I probably was offensive because I wasn't as wise, perhaps, as I should have been in presenting this. But friends, that's all we have to look forward to within the camp. The message of grace is not one they like. And the message of going forth to him without the camp bearing his reproach is not one they like. And the message of an altar that we can eat from, that those serving the tabernacle have no right to, is not one they like. They have long since, many of them, been carried about by diverse and strange doctrines. Now, those of you who are saved out there, who are living within the camp, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you may have difficulty with living through this. Hold the line. Hold to the faith. Hold to the Lord Jesus Christ. He and he alone is our altar. He and he alone is our temple. He is the one who died for us, and he is the one who through his grace and by his power and strength is preserving and bringing us through. We have a wonderful future ahead of us, and it is not of this world, and it is in that place, not made with hands, of which God himself is the maker. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.